Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here on this Thursday, June the 24th, 2021, 19 minutes past the hour. And we have a guest in studio here, First Ward City Councilman Kai Mead, who we're going to go to momentarily. But there's a big event going on this morning here in Marion, kicking off in under an hour now at 9 a.m. Members of the Marion Police Department and the Marion County Sheriff's Office will participate in a run from Marion City Hall to the Marion County Sheriff's Office to raise awareness and funds for the Marion County participants in the Special Olympics. And joining us here for about 5 minutes this morning before this event gets underway is Marion Police Chief Jay McDonald. Chief, how are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
Good to talk with you. Doing well. How did this event come about?
Well, this is actually the 40th anniversary of the Law Enforcement Torch Run. And it's been going on for a long time, and Marion has been proud participants in this event where law enforcement officers and Special Olympians carry the Special Olympic torch to the Summer Games down at Ohio State from various points in Ohio. Starts in Toledo for us and makes its way all the way down to Columbus. But with COVID, the Special Olympics Summer Games has been canceled. But we didn't want to leave Marion's Special Olympians out, and we wanted to continue the tradition, and that's why we are doing kind of our own modified run today.
Oh, that's great. Now, there will be members of the Special Olympics out today, is that correct?
That's correct. We've had a long-term relationship with the Marion County Board of Developmental Disabilities. In fact, just last week we got together with our friends out there and enjoyed a game of kickball. I'm 50 years old. It's been a long time since I played a game of kickball, but I had a blast. But so, they're going to come out today and join us, and we're going to get to spend some time with them before we embark on the run.
Oh, perfect. Now, people can make a donation to this event. How would they do that?
Well, they can send a check to the Marion County Special Olympics out to the Board of Developmental Disabilities out there on East Harding Highway. I can give you the address here in just a second, but it is it's right out there where Mark is, that same building.
Now, as far as the community, now they can come out, to the sheriff's office and see the end of this run today, is that correct?
That's right. We've partnered, as we very often do, with our friends at the Marion County Sheriff's Office, and they're going to participate with us. And so we're going to start at City Hall, and we're going to run to the sheriff's office on Delaware Avenue. The public can either watch from here or watch from there and give encouragement to the officers who are running. We have a nice group of officers who are running, including every member of our SWAT teams from both agencies are doing the run today. So we're excited about the officers who've decided to volunteer. We're excited about the Fraternal Order of Police who's going to make a monetary donation as well to Special Olympics.
Do we know about how many people will be running this morning?
At least 20.
20, that'll be great.
Yep.
Now, do we know what the amount of money raised so far is?
Well, the FOP is starting it off with a $500 donation, and we hope to see it rise from there.
Oh, that's great. And again, people would be able to make a donation to the Marion County Special Olympics, 2387 Harding Highway East, and of course that's here in Marion, 43302.
Yeah, that's great, Scott. I appreciate you helping us spread the word about this event. Special Olympics is a wonderful event that if you ever spend any time or volunteer at Special Olympics, you will certainly come away feeling much better off than you did when you started.
Absolutely. Well, I can't thank you enough for joining us this morning. It kicks off in less than an hour, and again, we encourage the public, if they would like to, go down to Marion City Hall at 9 o'clock when things kick off this morning. Do we know about what time things will end over at the Sheriff's Station?
Yeah, it won't be very long. It won't take, especially these young guys, that long to run that far. But I would say about 9:15. 9:15, 9:20.
You can go over and catch the end of the race and thank everybody who's involved. Well, thank you, Chief. I can't thank you enough for joining us, and stay well and have fun this morning.
Great, thanks. Be nice to my friend, Kai.
I will do that. Thank you.
All right, bye.
Marion Police Chief Jay McDonald joining us. Kai, here we are, and you're going to leave early this morning, about 10 minutes here, because you're going to head over to this event.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's a nice event here in Marion.
Yeah, I'm excited to go and support them in any way I can.
Yeah. Okay, Kai, let's get into the fun stuff here this morning. Well, let's just start here with a broad question. So, aside from the auditor issue, and aside from anything else that's brought up all the time, what's been going on with City Council?
Well, one of the things that I've tried to do is, I just started last Wednesday, is putting out on Facebook, and hopefully we'll get this to in-person meetings, is just weekly policy updates. So I just put one out on speeding, about speeding in the First Ward and especially Fair Park, to where we kind of went over what's happened in the last year and a half and what plans to happen in the future. And I think that that's a good way to connect with people and push out. And just so people know what's going on in their ward, in their town, and are just up to date on what they can expect and what's going on. Really, along with that, we've got ARPA funds coming in. We're not exactly sure when exactly we'll get those funds, but those will be exciting because that's money that the city can put to help our constituents out. And those are really the big things. I'm just trying to keep people as aware as possible on the issues that are relevant to them.
Now, it's interesting because we do have a local election coming up this coming November, and it will include everybody on City Council will be up for re-election. And there are some surprises here. We'll go through some of this, but last time you won by one vote, it was a very interesting story. In your race in the First Ward, how does it look going into November?
I feel good about it. We're going to need every single vote again. I'm going to knock a lot of doors. I'm going to talk to a lot of voters just because I think that's part of the job. But I feel good about it, and I think we'll see what the results say in November.
Now, if my understanding of this is right, you do not have somebody who will appear on the ballot as a Republican running against you.
No, I have a write-in opponent. I'll let him campaign for himself to a degree.
Yeah.
But it's a write-in opponent as of now.
Now, do we know why that happened?
I think typically when you have the filing deadline, people are in a rush to get petition signatures, things like that. And so if you miss that deadline, you're kind of out of luck. And then if you want to run as an independent, the Board of Elections looks at your partisan voting history, because you don't want someone that's voted in every, for example, you don't want someone that's voted in every single Democratic primary and say, going nuts on Facebook saying, I'm a Democrat, and then because they missed the deadline saying, hey, I'm an independent. That's unfair. That's not really why the ability to run as an independent exists. And so, that plays a factor in it, too. And so if you miss those deadlines, or if, you've parked yourself in one camp or the other, that can play a role in it as well.
Well, it's my understanding that a write-in candidate, their name will not even appear on the ballot. And in the history of Marion County, I think the only time a write-in candidate has ever won anything is when there was an issue with the River Valley School Board in regard to somebody who was running who had an accusation against them that led to this write-in candidacy. Let's put it that way, back then. So, I guess, you never take anything as a sure thing, but that's a pretty good history in Marion County.
Well, I'm not going to underestimate anyone. I'm still going to go talk to voters and still knock a lot of doors. That's kind of what my thing was last time, was I was just knocking doors like crazy. And I think that I'm going to do the exact same thing this year. I think that when you start to underestimate people, that's when you kind of let... you let opportunity slip in, and I don't want to do any of that, because I think we're doing a lot of great things for the First Ward and the constituents that live in there, and so I don't want to I don't want to mess anything up in that regard.
Some other things here that are kind of interesting. In the second ward, Ayers Ratliff, of course, the Democrat, we've had him on the show. I think he was on a couple weeks ago, or maybe last week. For the first time in many, many cycles, he now has a Republican opponent. Now, a lot of people have said to me that this is in reaction to his... The role he's played in the whole issue with the auditor. Do you think there's some of that in there?
Well, who knows? I never want to get in anybody's head on what their decision-making is and things like that. I think everybody's got a right to run. And so I'm sure both candidates are running because they want to do the job, and they probably just have different philosophies on how that job should be done.
Now, another interesting thing here is Kathy Swanger, who is currently listed as an independent on Marion City Council, is now running as a Democrat against a Republican in her ward. Why has this happened?
I think it's just because she voted in a primary since 2018. I think it was primary back in 2018. Or maybe it might have been 2019, who knows. And so that made the Board of Elections tell Kathy Swanger she has to run as a Dem. There hasn't been any political philosophy change out of Kathy Swanger that I know of. She's still the same former teacher that is just about of a straight shooter as they come. So I really think it was just something on like the more technical end of things.
A lot of people have said, though, in this particular case, because right now there are two independents listed independents on city council. One, Kathy Swanger, who now will run as a Democrat, and Josh Daniels, this is another story that we'll get to in a minute, who is not running at all next time. So, as near as we can tell, it doesn't look like there's going to be any independents on city council after this next election. But the thought has always been Josh Daniels was a Democrat for many, many years, and he did not become a Republican, and Kathy Swanger now is running as a Democrat, even though she's listed as an independent. So even though city council looks like it is split at this point with the two independents, that it really has been a Democratic voting body.
To an extent, right now, if you break the way we break it down, I think it's like a 4-3-2 breakdown. I think for the most part, people just vote for what they think is the right thing to do. Very few votes come down, and very few should come down to your partisan label. And so you don't really see the effects of a majority, especially such a slim one, even if you say count Kathy as in the Dem voting block per se, because even then we're just then it's 4-4-1.
Another interesting thing I saw when I was looking at this, Tara Dyer is back in the 5th Ward as the Democratic candidate. Now, Tara has run for many offices over, I don't think there has been a cycle where Tara has not run for something. And the last time in the 5th Ward, she lost by a very slim margin against an incumbent. Now, there is an incumbent this time, but the person she ran against last time has left that position, and so this is really the first election for that person in the 5th Ward, who's the 5th Ward council person, and it's not Tara's first campaign in the 5th Ward.
No, I think that, Tara has this unending drive, I think, to help the community and to build programs and to just get out there and help people. And I think that we see that from just how active she is. I think she just got done organizing a blood drive, and she's just constantly doing something to help out people in the community. So I think that it's going to be a really interesting race. People in the 5th Ward know Tara Dyer. And so we'll see how it turns out, but I think that she's got a great shot.
With as close as it was last time and being the first campaign that the 5th Ward council person has ever run this time, do you think this is the one that Tara could win?
Well, I don't know. I don't want to make any...
You don't want to jinx it.
Yeah, I don't want to jinx anything. I don't want to make any predictions, but I feel good about it. She always pushes a very unified message of... I think her message every cycle is unity in the community. And so I think that people respond well to that, and I think that people will this cycle as well.
Long-term city councilman, former county commissioner Josh Daniels is, by all accounts, leaving elected office.
Yeah, you know, I think he's ready to settle down. He's been doing it for a while, so I think maybe he wants to spend more time with his family. And who can blame him? There's his kids and his wife. So, you know, politics isn't meant to be a lifelong thing. So, with that, we have to assume that eventually people will say, you know, this was great. I'm ready to move on to something else.
As vocal as he is, and also within the last 2 years leaving the Democratic Party, were you surprised that he would step down?
Kind of. I think that everyone has different feelings and different solutions to some of the issues they see with each party. And so, you know, for Josh, it's that he wants to you know, maybe leave the party, separate himself a little bit. I don't agree with everything that comes out of the Democratic Party. I kind of just think of it as like, let's try to reform this. Let's try to change it for the better. But you know, at the same time, we're in very different positions in our life. I'm 23, so I've got that time. Josh is very active, but Josh is not 23.
And as near as I can tell here, as the list presents itself for city council, the city council races this coming fall, that will leave a seat open because Josh is leaving at large. There are three at large seats, and two people are running. So one of those two people is going to get in regardless. And one of those people running is Pastor Brett Cornelius, who did a show on this station for 2 or 3 years. So there is going to be a Republican filling one of those seats. Was this a mistake by the Democratic Party not to run anybody for that seat?
Well, I think that both parties really struggle sometimes to find candidates. I mean, really, what you have to look at is if you're just watching the news constantly, or if you're following politics, you just see people going for each other's throat constantly. And I think that a lot of people look at that and they say, why would I want to get in there? Why would I want to open up myself, my family to something like that? Because it can be rough sometimes. So I think that that does make it more difficult to find candidates on both sides. I've preached this for a long time, is that, you know, we should be doing things that produce more and more candidates and not less. The more candidates you have, typically the better result you have, I think, because, you know, voters have more of a choice.
You see a lot of names in recent elections of people who have run before. This time, it doesn't seem to be that way. What do you think changed?
You know, I think we're kind of on a curve. We're towards the back end, maybe, of a political movement, of a political era. And so I think you're starting to see some new names finally, you know, throw their hat in the ring. To be honest, it's probably some people that kind of thought about it 2 years ago, or maybe even 4 years ago, and then they're finally ready to, you know, dust the walking shoes off and get ready and go campaign. I think anytime you get some new faces in politics, it's a good thing. But we'll just have to see what the voters decide.
The mayor has been on, Ayers Ratliff has been on, in regard to the situation with the auditor. Now, you were one of three that made up the special committee that was to investigate the auditor. Now, that committee at this point is dispersed. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, in the remaining 15 minutes we have, because there's a lot to go through here, because I haven't had a chance to talk to you about this. Okay. For those people who have said, and you know they've said it, why are we wasting time on this? Why are we doing this? Why do we have to investigate this $1.28 million? The money's been returned. Why is this important? What's the answer to that?
Well, as a member of the Finance Committee and as a member of Council, we are a check on other bodies of government to make sure that they're running smoothly, to make sure that they're running correctly. I mean, I don't think anyone wants a situation where one body of government is just running amok and with no check or anything like that. And now we're at the point where these things like that, $1.28 million, those things have deadlines, and the IRS is typically pretty harsh when it comes to missing those deadlines. We just got an email where the deputy auditor emailed every member of council and said that we have been fined $66,000 for just one of the quarters that we missed over that 1.28. There's still a fourth quarter, and there's still a first quarter involved. And so it's important to look into these things to correct mistakes so that they don't happen again. Because say we get fined, if you just do some a little bit of math, say the numbers are, continue from quarter three to quarter four to the part of quarter one, you're looking at over $120,000-$130,000. I don't think that that's a Republican issue. I don't think that's a Democrat issue. If I take $130,000, if I take $66,000 from you, your first question is not, well, what party was he? Your first question is, how do I get my money back?
There's a story in the paper this week that I think was released by the auditor. I'm not for sure, so I won't say that, but I think it was. And it is that $66,000 has not been paid. They are appealing it. And, you know, that looks good in the paper. What's the story behind that?
Well, you know, I more than anyone else as a member of finance hope that that money, we do get that money, it's appealed, we don't have to pay it. You know, I don't want to have to come to figure out how are we going to reimburse the taxpayers for that amount. But on the other hand, I do think that the IRS would not be handing out penalties if they just meant to take them back regardless. I mean, maybe we get a small break, maybe we get one of the quarters covered, but we're still talking about tens of thousands of dollars that the city has to pay back. And this is uncharted territory, because I've never seen this much money get fined, this much of a fine before. So to be honest with you, we're still trying to figure out, where do you take that money from? I don't want to take that money from the carryover. That's money that's the taxpayers' dollars. I don't think that that's fair to the taxpayers. And so we really need to think about, where do we, if we do end up having to pay that money, where do we take it from?
The big question that everybody has is not so much that this happened, because it did. And the money was returned, the $1.28 million. The big question that people wanted to know, and I think a lot of people felt this committee would get an answer to, well, there's two questions. Number one, did the auditor know the mistake was made when it was being made? And number two was, did he have the power to take money and pay that without alerting city council and or the mayor or anybody? Being a member of the finance committee, what are the answers to those questions?
You know, it's my belief that you have to, just like a body of Congress, you have to go to the finance committee. You have to go to council anytime you're making an expenditure. And if we're talking about off books expenditures, that's never good for government. You want things to be on books. You want to be able to track things and see where they came from. And so, it's my belief that he should have came to council to request that 1.28. But at the end of the day, we've sent this issue and others on to the state auditor because, you know, I think we're at the point where one side thinks they're right, the other side thinks they're right, and let's let the state auditor make a decision. And I'll trust that decision, knowing that the state auditor is not the same political party as me, but I just want this issue resolved in an accurate way without political smoke, without accusations of a witch hunt, without anything crazy like that. I want the truth, and I think that it's insane that anytime we're talking about an issue where taxpayers are losing tens of thousands of dollars by the quarter, that we're accusing other members of a witch hunt. I care about the citizens' tax dollars. I'm not trying to waste anybody's time using Washington political rhetoric.
But I think what people are saying, there is no definitive rule on any book in Marion politics, in Marion government, that says you can't do this.
Well, I would disagree, because there is an ORC section, I don't have it in front of me, but I've referenced it in council meetings, that just talks about any time that an expenditure is made, you have to go to the correct body. And in this case, with the city of Marion, it would be the finance committee. And so there is a basis for it. We didn't just kind of create this out of nothing. So that's going to be the determination of the state auditor. And we will then see. I'm hoping that he will kind of put an answer out on that issue, and as well as where he thinks that the subsequent fines that we're receiving should come from.
Well, there's been some question, and I've asked Ayers and also the mayor, and they both have said that it's their understanding, not that it will, but that this could now lead to criminal charges. Is that correct?
That's a question for the law director. I'm not sure. I'm in law school, but I'm not that far into law school.
Well, I guess what the city's looking at is, okay, let's find out that he didn't have the power to do it, or he did have the power to do it. Is there, so who makes the repercussion?
Well, that's we're hoping for an answer from the state auditor on that. I mean, there's bonds that we can go after, which is kind of like insurance against someone that could go to repay it. But, you know, sometimes fines don't cover it. I think we'll need to do some legal research on what has, in the past, how those fines have gotten paid, whether it's been holding the auditor directly liable, whether it's going after a bond, whether it's taking out of a budget or something like that. I just don't want to see the taxpayers suffer over one person's mistake.
On that note, there has been a lot of talk recently that people don't leave office. Judge Warner here in town did not leave, we believe, until, not even after he was convicted of a crime and spent some time in prison, until Prosecutor Grogan talked to him through, I believe it was through a lawyer, but said, listen, we're going to file paperwork to get you out of this position if you don't do something. Then he resigned. We just saw the householder case in Columbus. He wasn't leaving on his own. His party had to say, you've got to go. Clearly, Robert Landon is not leaving this position. Is there any circumstance where city council has the power or could say, listen, we can't continue to do this? It's not just the $1.28 million. It's the email scam. It's the unpaid utility bills that have went on. It's everything that is going on, where we cannot let you handle the city's money anymore. We hear a lot of people say the money's important, but then everybody turns around and goes and says, well, but he's an elected official, and the voters are just going to have to wait. It sounds a little contradictory.
Well, I do think that it's important on two factors. For one, it's important for it's important to let the people of Marion know what's going on with their tax dollars. And then on the second, I guess, rung, we have the issue of importance because the city has like what's akin to like a credit rating, and so anytime these mess ups occur, it affects the credit rating. So that affects what grants we receive, that affects what loans the city can get, just the same as if it was a person we were talking about. And so it's important for the city to kind of sometimes separate themselves from mistakes like that, to say, listen, please do not come down harshly on us. This is not a city as a whole. This is one specific office. Now, when it comes to removal, the ORC is pretty specific about things that bar removal. But, you know, like you said, it is an elected position, so I think that it's important that, you know, the city is just not sweeping this kind of stuff under the rug. I think that it's crazy to me that we would want to just sweep anything like this under a rug while we're pushing for transparent government. I think for transparent government to occur, we need to talk about the good things that happen and the bad things, just so that voters really know what's going on. I mean, what kind of bad deal would we be getting if we didn't find out about a $60,000 fine until, say, 2 years from now, or, say, a year from now? So, you know, I do think at the end of the day, barring the state auditor saying anything, it will come down to the voters, but that doesn't stop the finance committee and the rest of council from having a duty to be a check on that office.
It's interesting because so many people in Marion, when the Judge Warner case was going on, including the mayor, called for his resignation. At that time, Sheriff Bailey called for his resignation. Matt Bales, who was running for office and became sheriff, called for his resignation. Ayres Ratliff has said that the auditor should resign, and he has called for his resignation. Mary Ellen Withrow said that he should resign. What's your feeling on that?
I just think that maybe it's time we kind of sit back and think about if maybe we're in over our heads, if he's in over his head a little bit. You know, it's one thing to run for something and just jump from, like, a seat to a seat, but, you know, at this point we're losing tax dollars. So, you know, that's a decision that Robert's going to have to make to himself. I don't want to sit here and say and demand that someone step down one way or the other, because at the end of the day, we know he's not going to. And so I think that we kind of have to take a step back, and that he should maybe take a step back and really think about what he's doing, what he wants to do in the future, and just think about how this all plays out in the end. Because we're now... The running number now is 66,000, and it could only grow. I mean, maybe we get it knocked off, and I really hope that we do. But we're losing tax dollars that could go to police, fire, repaving streets, and things like that.
You say you know he's not going to resign, and you're not banging your hand on the table saying, you know, you need to resign, but do you think he should resign? Is it your feeling he should? As a citizen of Marion.
I personally don't think that if I was Robert, I would have ran for the office in the first place, given my experience for the job.
Knowing what fines have come, do you feel comfortable with him remaining in this position for 2 years?
I don't think I can sit here on one hand and say that we're at $66,000 in loss and growing, and then at the same time say I'd love to have him stick around. So, you know, at the same time, I do think that if someone else was there, we would probably not be seeing these fines. We wouldn't be seeing these consistent mistakes. I mean, to an extent, you almost have to have a subscription to the Marion Star to just keep up with them, because, they're hitting every 6 weeks, every 8 weeks, there's something new popping up, whether it's credit cards being shut off, whether it's credit card scams, whether it's this $1.28 million issue, the list goes on and on and on. And, you know, I think that the automatic response from another party is, oh, well, you're just going after him because he's this political party and you're the other. I will swear on this show, hand to God, I will never, ever run for city auditor. I have no interest in running for city auditor. You could quadruple the pay of city auditor, and I would not run for city auditor. I have no interest in it whatsoever. But anytime we're talking about losing city tax dollars left and right, then we can't just be silent about it, you know, Republican or Democrat. And I think that it says more about the people that want to be quiet about this than it does the people who are saying this is wrong.
Correct me if I'm wrong on this, because I want to get two more questions in, because I know you got to run out of here. But you feel that he shouldn't be in the position. You feel that things have happened that should not have happened, that have cost people money. But you know he's not going to resign. So is that your hesitancy in saying that he should? Because Ayers has said, and I'm sure Ayers knows he's not going to resign, but he has said he should because of what has happened.
Yeah, that's where I kind of lean on the fact of, like, I mean, we should just look at the obvious right now. We should just look at the facts of the case. I mean, if you hired an accountant, again, one of the first questions you wouldn't ask is, you know, what's your party affiliation one way or the other? And if they lost you $66,000, you would not ask them, are they Republican, are they Democrat? You would just be mad that they lost you $66,000. So, and I think that you would fire that accountant. I mean, there would be no hesitancy one way or the other. So, you know, I think that at the end of the day, it's a decision for Robert to make. I like I said, if I was Robert, I don't know if I would have ran for it in the first place, given my credentials, but you know, it'll just be something for him to decide, because I don't want to make any like pointless calls that I know will not be answered.
But do you I guess forget the word resign, do you think he should go after if these fines are levied?
I think that whoever runs against him will have a very good shot if Robert decides to run for auditor again, based off of the performance that's taken place over the last year and a half. Feels like a lot longer than a year and a half with some of these issues.
What is this relationship, though, that he has with counsel? As you say, it has been made political. It's very clear in press releases that have been put out, some by the Republican Party, some by Auditor Landon himself. At the end, there's always a line about this is political. In some, you can go back and read these things. Clearly, he believes it's political. Clearly, the Republican Party believes it's political. Why is it not?
There's not a single other Republican elected official on that city council that we have spent time talking about issues like this one way or the other, and they're the ones who are up for election. Robert's not up for election this year, so we are just doing our job as a council to discuss these fines, mistakes that are occurring. You know, imagine how people would feel about their local government if these fines are coming in, and we just said, "Don't worry about it, don't worry about it," over and over again. That's not how local government should operate.
To round this out, we did get a press release this week, June 22nd, from Robert Landon's office, and it says Auditor Landon is honored to announce his appointment to the Ohio Municipal Join Self Insurance Pool Board of Trustees. Now, I'm not sure if that's supposed to be joint or join, but we'll we'll, it says join is what it says on the press release, so we'll go with that right now. What do you make of that? An auditor who is under fire for making mistakes gets appointed to this board of trustees.
Well, I think that sometimes small town politics take a while to eke out into the mainstream. I hope that the fines do go away. I don't want to see anyone do poorly ever. I don't care if you have a Republican next to your name or Democrat next to your name. I want to see the city do well. I want to see our elected officials do well. You pray for everybody the same. And if he gets appointed to a board, I hope he does an excellent job at it. I hope he kicks butt, because, you know, at the end of the day, that reflects on Marion. So good luck to him. I hope that everything goes great with it.
Final question, so you can make it in time for the start of this event this morning at 9 a.m. And it's a simple question, just as a resident of Marion, and I think it's the most important question for the citizens of Marion who are listening. Is their money safe? Because the what we hear is there are no checks and balances when it comes to this office. We keep hearing story after story just in the first 6 months of this year about how people can walk in and get credit cards. People are resigning from office. People are falling for email scams. Things are being sent to the state auditor to be figured out. We had a special committee appointed, which we don't believe has ever happened in the city of Marion this way before. And yet, is the money safe?
No. The money, I mean, we can't consider the money safe if we're getting a $66,000 fine. I mean, regardless of, regardless of the politics and things like that, you cannot tell me with a serious face, with the fines that we've gotten, with the credit card mistakes that have occurred. You know, sometimes they've worked themselves out, but it's one thing after another. So we cannot say with a straight face that the city's money is in safe hands right now, because it's mistake after mistake after mistake.
What do you make, final question, and we'll give you time to get down there, what do you make of Robert Landon, the person? Ayers and the mayor have both had interesting takes on that. What do you make of the man?
Well, I don't know Robert as a person. I kind of try to stay away from, you know, the personal side of things.
Answer questions for your committee, mm-hmm. apparently that was an interesting mm-hmm. event. How did you take that?
You know, I think that it's interesting. I think that sometimes may have gotten so wrapped up in politics, like in the idea that this is people just going after him, that I think, you know, during the whole process and before the committee, maybe he didn't said some things that he wouldn't do again. I don't want to comment on who he is as a person. I know he's got a family. I'm sure they're a great family. I'm sure he's a great family person. But I think that sometimes, you know, politics isn't for everyone. You know, being an elected official is not for everyone. And sometimes we get overheated. Sometimes we, you know, say things, we do things that we aren't comfortable with. Like, for instance, with the $100 million claim that got brought up that had no backing whatsoever. He went to every member of the finance committee back in September, talked to me in the stairwell about it. And I just said, you know, show me proof. I don't care if you're Republican or a Democrat. I'm not going to deal with any issue. I'm not going to protect anybody on an issue like that. Sent him an email the next day with times that worked for me. Never got a response back. Then 6 months later, when this $1.28 million issue popped up, he brings it up again. We ask for proof. Nothing. And so I think that, you know, paranoia sets in, and I think that, it makes people do things that they don't, that they're not necessarily proud of. But, you know, like I said, I'm sure that he is a great person.
When we say a person, we're not so much talking about the fam. I think we're all sure that he takes care of his kids, and his wife thinks he's great, and his parents thinks he's great. I'm sure that's true. Hopefully that's true of all of us in life. I think what we're talking about is his demeanor toward city council people. The when I say personal, I guess I'm saying, you know, the mayor has come on and said meetings with him did not exist for a long time. They resumed, but when the email thing came out, there was a meeting scheduled and it was canceled.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Anytime you have, you know, issues like this pop up, I think that the best thing you can do is communicate with council, communicate with the mayor, communicate with, you know, just other people in that building. And when you don't, I think it makes life a lot harder. I mean, for instance, if you go to the door in the auditor's office and just give it a tug, it's locked. I mean, you can't get in. I'm not talking about the door to his office. I'm talking about the outside door. And so it's really hard to push a message of transparency when you can't even get in the dang office.
Well, you know what? This is, and I'm going to make you late for this. I know this is horrible. I'm going to make you late. So if anybody's listening, to hold the start for a couple minutes so Kai can get down there. But what is strange to a lot of people in this whole email thing, and we didn't have a chance even to crack the surface on this, but the three doors down from the mayor's office. The person in the auditor's office who ended up resigning, it's my understanding, thought that they were getting emails from the mayor. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever walked down to the mayor's office. And even, let's say that wasn't a time to walk down. When the cards were being scratched off, the gift cards, to be sent to the mayor, who they thought was they were sending, they didn't even walk the cards down to the mayor's office. Now that, not that we can't be taken in by email scams, many people are every day. That's strange.
Yeah, and I think that it really goes back to making sure that we're are hiring qualified people, hiring people who meet the requirements of the Yarger report. You can't avoid every mistake with that, but you sure can avoid a lot of them. And so, you know, your take on it was my first question too, was why didn't you just go down to the mayor's office? I mean, some of these gift cards were for like Sephora, which is like a makeup brand. So it's like, and like if you just click on the email, it was like the email address, it was clear that it was not, you know, a city address at all. But at the same time, I think the big issue is just making sure that mistakes like these don't happen again. And you know, we have an auditor's office. They're trying to create an auditor's office to where we don't have to worry about these mistakes happening. And we do that by having experienced staff.
Kai, run out of here.
All right.
Go to your
man. You having me.
Thank you so much for coming on. Kai Mead, First Ward City Councilman. And hopefully he will run down there and the event will kick off this morning. Thanks, Kai.
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. All right. We'll continue on here this morning. We got the big drawing coming up later on this morning, but if anybody has anything to say, give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We do have a few minutes here before we're going to go to break. Does anybody have anything to say in regard to this interview or anything that Kai said? We appreciate him coming in this morning. 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. I got a little more to talk about McDonald's this morning. An interesting thing happened this morning, so I'm going to save that for next hour. And, of course, my commode situation just continues here, so we'll continue on with that. We're going to have our drawing for our big prize today. Now, remember, I'm going to call somebody who's on my list here. I'm going to draw a name out and call one of these people who hopefully are listening this morning, ask them a question, and if they get the question right, they will win our big prize. So we look forward to that. And again, momentarily here, the big event's going to get underway down at the police department here. Looks like we're getting a call. Let's take the call before we go anywhere else. Go ahead, caller.
Not too much, Kai. Scott, I'm sorry. Kai is just excellent. We need more people like him. It's good to see someone so young who knows what's going on and isn't afraid to speak the truth. And he's very nonpartisan, too. I mean, when I talk to him on the show, I noticed that. You hear a proud citizen, someone who loves his area and wants to do anything that he can and get answers instead of a Democrat or Republican. So all I have to say is thanks to Kai for being on with me and with you. And he's a good interview. We need more people like that.
What do you make of him? I mean, he sat on this committee, the special committee investigating the auditor. What do you make of that whole situation after hearing Kai describe it here?
I don't know enough. I guess I know enough to be dangerous, as the cliche says. I think Landon needs to be more accountable. And as Kai said, he seems like a good guy. I mean, we're connected on Facebook. He's a great family man, and that's good. The character of somebody is important, but he doesn't seem too accountable. And if you're not, is there something to hide? Are you not being professional? And it's beyond my knowledge to know exactly what the circumstances are, but you have to be an open book. I mean, that's kind of, you know, an auditor, that's what it is. It's about accountability from citizens and from government. And let's hope we can get to the bottom of it. It seems like it's been blown up the situation's been blown up a bit, but it is important. I mean, every penny counts, and when it's millions of pennies, it counts even more. So hopefully we can kind of band together and be on the same team. Now, that's what I see about Kai. He is a team player, but understands that there are things you must be liable for, and there are situations that we must get to the bottom of. So hopefully we can. Hate to just talk about these negative events. I talked to him about the positive event, the small business, or the small business events, and that's great, but there are things that happen from all directions. Not much else I can say, Scott, but I'm glad that we want to get to the bottom of it, and we need people in office to be accountable. I mean, I don't think anybody would disagree with that.
All right, thanks, Adam.
We're all part of the business community, we're all residents, the taxpayers, directly or indirectly. We're not Democrats or Republicans. The first part needs to be understood.
All right, thank you.
Okay, no problem, Scott.
Looks like somebody broke a pen here in the pen cup. I have black ink all over my hands. Now, what in the world? Why would somebody break a pen and put it back in the pen cup? I don't even know which pen it was that's broken. 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz here if you have anything you want to say real quick before we go to break. I wonder which pen in here is the one that is snapped, because there clearly is a pen in here that is broken, and I think it might be this one because there's some ink on it, but I don't know where it's leaking from. What a mess with ink all over the place. Okay, you know what? We are going to go to break here, and we'll come back on the other side and continue the conversation. Don't you dare go anywhere.
400 Delaware Avenue, phone number 740-387-9050. Programs on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM are brought to you by Williams Grass Cutters. Telephone number 740-272-0062. Website williamsgrasscutters.com. Facebook page at Williams Grass Cutters. Email w.grasscutters@gmail.com.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions, don't text and drive.
Visit stoptextstoprex.org, a message brought to you by